You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
It's him. He's alive.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Panthers defensive back and current Campbell University head coach Mike Minter. Let me remind you about Mike's background. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. Attended high school in Lawton, Oklahoma, where he led the state in rushing with 1,589 yards and 21 touchdowns as a senior. Also averaged 21 points per game on their basketball team. Played his college ball at the University of Nebraska, where he was a member of their back-to-back national championship teams in 1994 and 95. He was named to the All-Big 12 team as a senior in 96, and he was named team captain that season as well. 2006, he was inducted into the Nebraska Hall of Fame. He was a second-round draft pick by the Carolina Panthers in 1997, and he played safety in the league from 97 to 2006, all in Carolina. Became a starter in the sixth game of his rookie season and never gave it up. He played in 148 games, started 141 of them, 94 consecutively, both of which are team records. He had 11 sacks, 17 interceptions, forced 15 fumbles, recovered 11 of them, and had 780 tackles over the course of his NFL career. Like I say, he is now the head coach at Campbell University in North Carolina, led the Fighting Camels to a 6-5 record this season, which is a record there in the modern era. I got my Campbell University t-shirt on out of respect for Mike, and we are very excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Coach, thanks for coming back on the show. Chris and Bob here. We're excited to have you as part of the show again.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's always great to be on you guys' show, and I'm sure that all you guys, listeners, man, enjoy all the great information that you give them.
We appreciate that very much, Mike. So I gotta congratulate you, Coach, on a great season. Like I say, six wins is the most at Campbell since the football program came back in 2008. Guys didn't have a football program there from 1951 to 2007. So here you are, your first season in the Big South Conference, six big wins. Yeah. Got to make you feel good.
It really does. When I took this job, guys, 6 years ago, we was dead last in Division I football. I think it was like 226 teams, and we was 226. And so to be able to take this job and now make it into a winning program, for the last two seasons, really last three seasons, we've had winning football seasons. And so for that to happen, it's a big thing. To go from non-scholarship football to scholarship football. And when you look at that, I think Mercer did it, and they did it the best. And they did it in three seasons. It took them to have a winning season, and we was able to do it in year one. And so I'm proud of my coaches. I'm proud of the support that we get. I mean, we one of the most sellouts in college football as far as capacity is concerned. We was rated like number three stadium in FCS football to come watch a game. And so when you look at all that excitement, top 50 recruiting class for the first recruiting class that we had last year, and it's just a lot of exciting things. We got a lot of young guys. We got a receiver that's an All-American freshman, quarterback that was an All-American, so that's a sophomore. We got a lot going on, and I'm very proud of what we did last season.
Yeah, Mike, and let's take that a step further. To your point, you had 13 players end up on the Phil Steele postseason honor roll, including seven players who were named to the Big South All-League team, including, as you mentioned, your freshman wide receiver, Caleb Snead, who was also named to the freshman All-American team by Hero Sport. You got your quarterback, Daniel Smith, a second-team All-Big South player. Boy, it sounds like you've got a really young, exciting nucleus that you're going to be able to build around for the next several years. Talk about all of the guys that have made a big impact on this season.
No, I mean, you hit two of the guys that's coming back, and again, they was young. Daniel Smith, when he was playing, because he got hurt later in the season, we was sitting at 5-1 and really dominating the football. And then he got hurt, And, of course, that hurt us as a football team because he's so much of a big piece of what we're doing. And so I had to go get me another quarterback that can come in and we not drop off. And so we was able to get a JUCO quarterback from California. He actually grew up in Colorado and was an All-American there. And so we was able to get him, and he just enrolled in school, and we started classes on Wednesday, and he was there. And so I was excited about that because, you know, it gives us another weapon behind Daniel if Daniel was to go down. And so, you know, Caleb Snead, 6'4", a kid. I told him he played like Terrell Owens. And, you know, I played against him a lot when he was at San Francisco and at the Cowboys. And listen, this kid played just like him. Unbelievable talent. And so then when you start to look at the defense, solid defense, I mean, it was in the top 25 in the country, the number one rated defense as far as pass defense is concerned. And all these guys are coming back. Every single guy is coming back on our defense. And so we're excited about that. But Aaron Blockman was a senior wide receiver, and he was a kid that had a big career for us. And he's a kid that you'll hear going to the next level. So he'll be our sixth player that we sent to the National Football League. He's playing in the Tropical Bowl right now this weekend. And so he played in the FCS Tropical Bowl. He did so well, they invited him to the FBS Tropical Bowl this weekend, where now he'll be competing against FBS opponents, or I should say players, in that All-Star game. So, you know, we got a lot of great stuff with these young people, and, you know, that's what it's all about.
So, Mike, I got to ask you, and I, as a guy from Cleveland, you know, when I look at Campbell University and the colors, boy, certainly looks an awful lot like the Cleveland Browns, particularly the Browns color rush uniforms. How much of the Clevelander in you came out in the uniform?
Hey, well, I can tell you this. When you look at the Browns, and that was the picture that I took, and I sent it to my athletic director, and I said, look, we need the jersey to look just like this. And it's funny that you bring that up because that's exactly what I did. And you know, you don't see too many teams that can represent that orange real well. And Cleveland Browns was one of those teams that we wanted to, you know, kind of mimic our look around. And so you hit it right on the head.
And I know, I mean, and I'm a guy from Pittsburgh and I'm a huge Steelers fan. And like I said, I got my Campbell University shirt on right now, but I got to tell you, I hesitated for a minute when I got it and looked at it. And, dang, that looks like the Browns. I don't know if I can do it, but I did. Out of my respect for you. Bob, questions for Mike?
Great to have you back, Mike, and Happy New Year. And I want to stick on Campbell for one more question. You know, we've had guys at these smaller schools, Mike, and I give you guys credit for getting these guys to the NFL. But guys like yourself, Willie Simmons, Tony Reno from Yale, all these guys we've had on the show, I know it's more about molding men, and you probably get so much joy out of just seeing guys that didn't make it to the NFL that become great citizens and have a lot of success in business. But talk more about the academic aspect of Campbell and the atmosphere down there.
Well, listen, when you talk about the academics, it's probably one of the greatest business schools in the country. I think Stanford has this program also, and it's a business program. It's called Trust and Wealth Management. And what happens is in 5 years, you can get your undergrad and your master degree in trust wealth management and guaranteed to get a job and once you're done. And so we got so many guys that come, they get into this program. And I tell them all the time, this is the way to go. Because you guarantee to come out to have a $70,000 job, and you're going to intern your senior year. They're going to bring you in, and man, look, you can go anywhere in the country and have a guaranteed job, and you play football, so you understand what it takes to be successful in that industry. And man, they eating that up. And so it is real good when we talk about guys graduating. Of course, it's an academic school at Campbell. It's very difficult. So we got to get those guys that from high school that really understands the studies are very important. It's just not about football. And so when you look at our graduation rate of 99%, it's just amazing stuff. And so yes, it is about everything. And so when we talk about a young man, we say when you come to Campbell, what we're talking about is unlocking your greatness. And everybody has it. And it's our job as coaches, it's our job as an organization to unlock that greatness so you can be as great as God created you to be. And that's really what we do. And so the atmosphere is really built around, like the NFL. It's first class. We charter everywhere we go. Everything is we got a sports psychologist that's on the staff. We also have a nutrition program that I was at Nebraska, it's built exactly like that, where these guys are really getting fed and taken care of. And you just don't see those type of things at an FCS program, at our level. And so, again, I can't say enough about the administration. These guys have bought into my vision and supported it, and all our boosters that support it. We built over $30 million worth of new stuff since I've been there. And so, man, it's just been great, because everything needs to be there for the young man to unlock his greatness.
That's all great stuff. And again, kudos to you for making it happen, Mike. And we also mentioned early in the show, we mentioned the name Vic Fangio came up. And Fangio, I was looking at your record, and he was your very first defensive coordinator, Mike, and down in Carolina, ironically. And I'm sure you have some great memories. Talk about this guy. How do you think he'll be as a head coach, and what he meant to your 10-year career?
Vic, let me say that I'm so happy that he's finally got his shot.
Right.
This is a guy that should have – I remember my rookie year, he was actually getting interviewed then for a head coach's job, and I thought he would have been a head coach really quick. I mean, because he was the head coach of the defense and really ran the show, taught me a lot. I mean, he was very professional, very to the point, very structured, disciplined with everything that we did. And, this is a guy that, was a defensive coordinator when we went to the NFC Championship the year before I got there, and we got beat by the Green Bay Packers right before the Super Bowl. So I'm glad he finally got his shot. What you're going to get is you're going to get a guy that knows how to put players to be in the best positions to be successful. And I really think that's what football is all about as a coach, is how much ambiguity can you take away? How much can you get these guys prepared so they're not thinking about the game? It's automatic. It's in the subconscious. And so the two or three things that they need to think about, then they're able to do that. Because all the other things are just automatic. And that's what you're going to get from Vic. He's not a rah-rah guy. That's not him. He never gave us one of those speeches. But when you're so prepared and you're getting your guys so prepared, you don't need that. So, he's in the mind of a Bill Belichick, very, very smart about the game and what's very important into winning. And that's Vic, man. So he's going to do very good. I read a book this summer, and it was, I think it was Mike Lombardi who wrote it, who, was with Belichick and all that. And so he said when he was getting into being a GM being a president, he flew in to meet with the Rams, and this is before Dick Vermeil came, and they was looking for coaches, and guess who was on the list? He had top guys that was on the list that should be a head coach, and Vic Fangio was one of those guys. And so I know he's going to be sitting there saying, I told y'all he should have been a head coach a long time ago.
Mike, I want to get your thoughts on Scott Frost there at your alma mater now at Nebraska. He left my UCF Knights to go back and to be the head coach there. And want to get your memories of playing with Scott and what you think he can do to get Nebraska back into being a top 10 program.
Listen, he's already doing it. When you got a guy that understands the landscape of Nebraska, I mean, he's a Nebraska kid. He grew up there. He understands the people. So he understands how to recruit the state. And when you don't understand how, the Nebraska people think, you don't understand how the Nebraska kids think, then you can't get them to walk on. When you understand where they coming from and how to make them feel part of the red and white, trust me, they're going to come walk on. And that's what he's doing. He's building the walk on program back up to where it needs to be, because that's the type of kid you have in Nebraska, a kid that you have to develop. And about year three to year four, that kid now becomes a monster as far as college football is concerned. And so that's what he's doing, number one. I think number two is he bringing back the belief, because Coach Osborne was so much about believing and understanding that faith is part of everything that we're doing, and he's bringing that back. You can see that throughout the season. You know, the guys started off slow, and then they ended up winning, I think, 3 out of 5 games at the end of the year. And really playing some really good football, almost beating Ohio State, in that game. And so when you start to look at it, you say, okay, you see the flashes. He got a great quarterback in that young guy. And that's one of the things you got to do. You got to go recruit a quarterback so he can help you win football games. And he has that. And now what he's done is he's went out there. And that's what we used to do when Coach Osborne was there. You go spot recruit. You go get you some big-time talent in Texas, get you some big-time talent in California and Florida. Since he was over there at Central Florida, he knows that area. Grab you some guys from those areas and key spots and get some speed, and that's what he's done. And I think one of his top recruits, I think he was a 5-star, is a wide receiver, and that's what we need. We need a lot of speed. So now guys can't just zero in on one player. You got to defend the whole field because we got 11 guys that can make it happen. And so I think that's really what he's doing. And then defensively, these guys are really attacking, and they really playing solid defense. And I think, Eric could have that defense even better coming up next year. So when you look at the recruiting, you look at the walk-on program, you look at the belief, here's the other thing Scott is doing. He's going back to get everybody who was part of our program on the outside. And what do I mean by that? The nutritionist, Dave, he went back and got him, and he brought him back to the program. And now he's building the nutrition program, the strength and conditioning program, is going back to the old days of Boyd Epley, and we building that back up to where it needs to be. And I believe that he's bringing back our sports psychologist that was part of the program when we was coming through. And then he go back and get Ron Brown, a coach that would helping us grow as young men and really tying into that we bigger than just football players. And Ron Brown is part of the program. And, of course, Coach Tom Osborne is definitely helping him throughout the process. So I can tell you this, it's only about 5 offensive coaches that's in the game today that I look at as a defensive man, and I say I don't want to play him. And Scott is one of them. And so he's going to turn it around. And I can tell you this, about 3 years, we'll be winning a Big Ten championship.
Mike, one more before we let you go. And as getting back to your playing days, 15 years ago today, you had a key interception in the Panthers playoff win over the Rams. It came early in the fourth quarter. You guys would go on to beat the Rams in that game in overtime. Came against while you were guarding Isaac Bruce, who I'm sure at some point here in the not-too-distant future is going to end up in the Hall of Fame. But wanted to get your memories of that game and that play.
Well, you know, the game, because, you know, the crazy thing is the anniversary of how we beat them too, right? So the Clown X, I think it was an X-Clown or something like that, that we threw that route to Steve Smith to catch the ball in the double overtime, and he takes it into the end zone, and we win the game. I just remember that we knew that this was the greatest show on turf, and we had to stop this offense. And you know, and Marshall Faulk was really the key to their whole offense, and that was really what we had to do. I believe the quarterback they had was maybe Green. I can't remember who the quarterback was, but man, these guys, Isaac Bruce, was unbelievable. Torrey Holt, Akeem in the slot. These guys had players all over the place. And so the pressure was on us as defense to slow these guys down. So to hold them to 20 points, in that game, it was really big for us. And we had some key. Ricky Manning Jr. had a key interception, I believe, in the first overtime. They tried to throw a little inside route. He picked it off with one hand to kind of stop them from winning the game at that time, and kind of gave us the ball back. And so, man, that game was unbelievable. It was like full speed the whole time. And of course, you know, the interception you're talking about, we sat in a deep coverage because we didn't want them to get over the top of our defense. And so we wanted to keep everything in front so we can, you know, lay the wood on them a little bit. quarterback was, you know, overthrew the kid and you know, I picked it off and was able to get us the ball back. And so it was back and forth. It was one of those games, man, that it was 15 rounds, heavyweight boxing match. And the first team that flinched was the first team was going to lose. And fortunately, they was the ones who flinched when Steve Smith caught that dig route and took it about 80 yards to win the game. And I remember that like it was yesterday, because it set up a big time matchup for us to go to Philadelphia the next weekend and upset them guys at their place to go to that first Super Bowl in Carolina Panther history.
And Mike, like I let you know, we had Musa Muhammad on the show last week, and we asked him about his memories of you. And he said he used to call you the Dirty Reverend because you were a good Christian man, and you'd pray with you on Sunday morning and then go lay the wood to you on Sunday afternoon. What do you remember about Moose, and is that a fair description of you?
Well, that's definitely a fair description of me. Monday, if we was playing on Sunday, Monday to Saturday, I love on you, I pray with you. But come Sunday at 1 o'clock, man, I'm trying to knock your head off. And so, yeah, he's right on the money with that. And me and him, you know, we grew up together in the National Football League, because he got drafted in 96. I got drafted in 97. Of course, I'm a defensive back. He's a receiver. So we always going at it at practice. And so we really grew up as grown men together, man. So that's like my brother. And so, you know, Moose, I can tell you this, man. I told him that he probably the best receiver that I ever seen that runs a 4.7. You know, like he gets on the field and you can't cover him. He's too big. He's too strong. And guess what? In the Super Bowl, he will outrun you 280 yards, stiff arming everybody and taking it to the end zone. And so, you know, Moose was that guy I thought was the heart and soul of our offense because he understood what a Carolina Panther was all about because, you know, he got drafted there and grew up there.
Mike, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing there at Campbell University and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, you know, if they go to GoCamels.com, is where everything is going down. So go to Camels.com and, you know, get on there, support us, and, man, hopefully – one day, you know, we'll be in Fargo Dome beating North Dakota State. That's my goal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mike, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We're big Mike Minter fans. We're rooting hard for you at Campbell University, and we really appreciate your time tonight. You're fantastic.
Pleasure, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You guys have a great night.
Take care, Mike.
Take care, Mike. All the best to you and your family. That is Campbell University head coach and former Carolina Panthers defensive back, Mike Minter. And boy, Bob, you know, you talk about a guy that came in and has taken the bull by the horns and really made an impact on a football program and on some football players. And, you know, like the kids on his team, again, 13 players on that team made some sort of, whether it's, the all-conference team or something of that nature, whether it was first team, second team, third team, a couple of All-American players in his wide receiver. Boy, you want to talk about a guy that's doing great things and really turned the program around. Mike Minter and Campbell University are two things you need to really keep your eyes on next season.
Yeah, it's amazing, Chris. His name obviously is attractive in recruiting, but he's doing it the right way. He's more interested, of course, in molding men. You almost feel like you're talking to Willie Simmons when you're talking to Mike. And, wow, doing some great things, and good luck to Campbell.
All right, we've got our next guest, Eddie Kennison, hanging on the line. Going to get to Eddie on the other side of this quick station break.